Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Thank you for just being the saints of the Lord. Remember, a saint is a holy one, but we're not holy because of what we do. We're holy because of what Jesus has done. We belong to Jesus, so we are his saints. Lord God, this morning, come and just meet with us. Lord, come and make your love real to us. Not just the topic of the day, but Lord, the reality of your presence today. That's what we ask for, Jesus. You're welcome in this house. Come and have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first song is When We All Get to Heaven this morning, and this is it's a beautiful song from the choir, and so this is our theme today a little bit, is we're talking about, you know, the saints being in heaven right now, and we're talking about the hope of heaven for all of us. Thank you all for joining and being worshipers this morning. Our scripture is Jesus' great commandment. It's in Matthew chapter 22. Hear and receive the word of the Lord. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees all got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Lord Jesus, this morning, we invite you to come and teach us. Oh, Holy Spirit, Lord, you begin to not just talk to us about love, but begin to show us love. Begin to lead us into love. So, Lord, this morning, we ask that it would be well with our soul. We ask that our hearts would be made whole. God, we ask that you would just bring healing to every person here as we focus on you and open ourselves to your great love for us. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated. So one of the theme verses for our Jesus, we're in a new series, if you didn't know, Jesus Makes Us Whole, okay? And one of our theme verses for our Jesus Makes Us Whole series is Psalm 147, verse 3. God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wound. God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Another theme verse is Isaiah 53, 5. This is written, by the way, 700 years before Jesus is even born. And it says this, speaking completely about Jesus, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are made whole. All right? Jesus makes us whole. I wonder how many of us here this morning, if we would just be honest, how many of us would just kind of go, well, I don't know how whole I am right now. I don't know what the condition of my heart is right now, but I'm willing to let the Lord come and do a little work on me. I hope that's your approach as we study his word this morning. I want to start with this is, by the way, it's a great book. It's called The Wholehearted Marriage. And I want to start this morning by a story by Sean Stover, okay? He says, my mom and dad were both on the rodeo team in college. Yes, the rodeo team, he says. They were full-time cowboys. My mom was actually one of the best cowgirls in the country, finishing second in the nation in the all-around competition at the national finals. They both wholeheartedly pursued the activities they were passionate about. I grew up going to the farm with my parents on weekends, riding horses, working cattle. He says it was an amazing childhood. My life as I knew it changed forever at the age of 8. My mom was having a persistent pain in her leg, so she reluctantly went to the doctor. My little sister and I sat in the waiting room for what seemed like an eternity as the doctors ran tests on my mom. When all the exams were completed, mom herded us out into the car. You know, We climbed into the back seat and waited for Mom to start the car, but she just sat there, staring straight ahead. And finally, she just broke into tears. It was the first time I'd ever seen my mother cry. I didn't know what to do, what to say, or what to make of it. Later, we were told that Mom had found out that she had bone cancer in her leg. We lived in Houston, Texas, home of MD Anderson, the best cancer treatment and research center in the world back in the 1970s. The doctors were great. Unfortunately, the psychologists were not so great. The prevailing theory on childhood grief at the time said that the best way for a child to remember a dying relative was in that person's healthiest state. Therefore, children were not allowed in the hospital. From the time of her diagnosis to her death, my mom lived just 9 months. In that period, we got to see her only a handful of times. On November 1st, 1978, I turned the corner onto our block, walking home from school, and I spotted my parents' Suburban in our driveway, and I sprinted the 100 yards to my door, excited to see my mom. And as I walked in, I saw my dad was alone. We waited on my sister so he could have to share the news only once, and the news was that my mom had died. 8-year-old boys typically think they're bulletproof. They believe they can put a sheet on, climb up on the roof, jump off the roof, fly around while, you know, before landing gracefully. My wholehearted, fearless existence ended with the loss of my mom. The person who meant more to me than anyone else in the world had been in need, and I'd been helpless to offer a cure. I know now that I responded to that tragedy the way countless others have done. I closed my heart down. I walled it off and made an unconscious decision to protect myself. He says, loving my mom wholeheartedly had led to more hurt and grief than I could ever have imagined. And something inside me said, don't you dare let that happen again. The powerful negative life circumstance completely disconnected me from my heart. I was robbed of my connection to the wellspring of life. I was robbed of the connection to the essence of who I was. I wonder how many of us here this morning have had experiences like Sean's. Experiences in our past that have broken our heart, or experiences that have closed us off from our heart, or shut us down in life, or caused us to be half-hearted instead of whole-hearted because we don't feel safe enough to fully engage. This morning, our big idea is that love is the pathway to wholeness. When the Pharisee comes to Jesus in our passage this morning, he's not looking for a pathway to wholeness. He's looking for a way to trap Jesus. He's looking for a way to prove Jesus wrong. He was looking for a way to discredit and invalidate Jesus. Truth is, I'm not sure what the learned Pharisee is looking for from Jesus. I mean, is he wanting Jesus to go back to the Ten Commandments and just pick one? Is he wanting Jesus to go off script and out of scripture and come up with some idea that contradicts God's word? I don't know. But what I do know is that Jesus takes the Pharisee and he takes the crowds back to the foundational beginning of the people of Yahweh. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5 is known as the Shema. And it's the primary Jewish confession of faith. The Shema is said in morning prayers and evening prayers. The Shema is said at the beginning of life and the end of life. Here's the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And then Jesus adds the words of God from that he had given to Moses up on in Leviticus 19. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as you love yourself, for I am the Lord. Now let's all say, if you don't mind, Jesus' great commandment together. This is in Matthew 22. We already read it. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and with all, I'm sorry, do it again, I messed up. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. this morning, three important truths from Jesus' great commandment. First truth in the great commandment is that Jesus is calling us, commanding us to love holistically. And, you know, not compartmentally, but holistically. Jesus teaches us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. Mark's gospel in the original Hebrew of Deuteronomy 6 include that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our strength. Here's the point. We are not to love the Lord our God partially, but totally. We are not to love the Lord our God with just our hearts or just our heads or just our bodies. We are to love the Lord our God with all that we are and all that we have. There are three Greek words that Jesus was probably talking in Aramaic, but when the disciples were writing the New Testament, they put it in Greek. So here are the three words they use. First, there's cardia. Oh, we are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts. Now, in Greek thought, cardia is more than just the center of our emotions. It's also the seat or the center of our wills. Cardia is the place where our decisions are made. In our modern day vernacular, the heart is just the place where our feelings come from. Our hearts are about romance and goosebumps. But cardia is so much more in God's Word. Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water a face reflects a face, so the heart of a person reflects the person. You see, what's going on in here will sooner or later be what happens out here, right? What's going on in here, if you want to know what's going on in your heart, just stick around, man, because it's going to be reflected outside of us. Theologian David Anderson says this. He says, the heart predisposes a person to whether or not they can hear and receive a message. Its inclinations greatly influence the mind and its thoughts and its opinions. If the heart is closed to a message or against someone from the outset, it is very difficult for that person's mind to hear and consider the word that is shared. This is why we must pray for our friends and our family that don't know Jesus. For our friends and our family that are lost, we need to pray that God, the Father himself, will draw them to Jesus. We need to pray that Jesus himself will be the great cardio surgeon, you know, the cardiovascular surgeon of our hearts, that Jesus will come and touch us and open up the spiritual vessels and veins of our hearts so that his grace and his love can flow deeper and deeper inside of us. The second Greek word is psuche, and it means that we are to love God with all of our souls. Psuche, or soul, is the core of our very identity. Psuche is the very core of our being. The Greek word psuche occurs over 100 times in the New Testament. Now, depending on the translation, it's either rendered life about half the time, or it's rendered soul the other half. So psuche indicates ourself. Our life, it's the essence of who we are. Jesus commands us to love the Lord our God with all our souls, which means that we are to love God with every fiber of our being. Our psuche, our soul, our identity, our unique personhood, our self is God's first gift to us. We are fearfully, wonderfully made, uniquely made in his image when we are in our mother's womb, right? But how we choose to love him, that is our gift, our personal response to him. I love homemade cookies and I ate way too many this weekend. I love playing golf even though I haven't played for over a year. So what's obvious is that kind of love that I'm talking about, that's not loving from my soul. That's definitely not loving things with all my soul. I mean, maybe I got a craving for chocolate chip cookies, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I love the idea of being out playing golf, but I don't love that with all my soul. They may be great, but they're not worth my soul, and they're not worth your soul either. I wonder if there are things or even persons in your life that you are giving your soul to right now. You see, God and God alone is worthy of that kind of total, complete, absolute love. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our souls. The third Greek word is dianeia, and it means that we are to love God with all of our minds. We are to love God with our thoughts and our thinking and our reasoning. We are never to check our braids at the door when we come into the house of God. We are never to stop growing intellectually. We are never to let our minds grow numb or be controlled by the never-ending 24/7 news cycle. When's the last time you read a book? When's the last time you read this book? By the way, we still have a Bible book club. And Bible book club, we're just reading one chapter a day, every day. And so for the next 30 days, all that we're reading is the book of John. That's not even a chapter a day. So if you want to do it with us, just text Bible to that number right there. All right? We read our Bible every day, and then once a week, if we can, if you're not required, but we come and we talk about it. So anyway, if you want to do that. This is what R.C. Sproul said in his book, Loving God with Our Minds. He said, nothing can be in the heart that is not first in the mind. And if we want to have an experience of God directly where we bypass the mind, we're on a fool's errand. It can't happen. We might increase emotion or entertainment or excitement, but we're not going to increase the love of God because we can't love what we don't know. And a mindless Christianity is no Christianity at all. Second important truth from the Great Commandment is that in the Great Commandment, Jesus is calling us, commanding us to love multidimensionally. Jesus is calling us to love God vertically, right? He's calling us to love each other horizontally. He's calling us to love ourselves internally. Jesus is teaching us this foundational truth and principle that who we are in relationship with God has everything to do with who we are in relationship with each other. And who we are in relationship with each other has everything to do with who we are in relationship with ourselves. In other words, I can't score a 95 on my vertical love and a 55 on my horizontal love. If I'm not doing it here in my relationship with others, then something is missing here in my relationship with Him. I'll never be making straight A's in my relationship with others while I'm flunking how I feel about myself. Again, that's why it's so important to invite Jesus, the ultimate heart surgeon, to come and do that much needed work in each of our lives. Come, Lord, touch us. Come, Lord, heal us. Come, Lord, take out the poison. Come, Lord, open up the veins, the vessels for your grace to flow. I keep coming back to C.S. Lewis's quote, probably too much or probably tired of it, but it just goes like this: to love it all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must never give it to anyone, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your own selfishness. But in that casket, safe and dark, motionless, airless, your heart will change. It will no longer just be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. You see, to love it all is to be vulnerable. Where have you grown cold and hard? Where have you become bitter and hateful toward yourself or toward others? We had Carol Hall's funeral on Friday, and if you knew Carol, she was one of the, we didn't light her candle this year, we'll light it next year, but if you knew Carol, you would know what a beautiful, precious daughter of God that she was. Carol had deep hurts and trials and tragedies in her life. Carol had lost two husbands to death and lost another husband to divorce. She lost her mother and her sister when she was very young. She lost her daughter Karen way too soon. Carol knew the reality of a lot of unmet expectations in her life. There were a lot of things that turned out differently than she desired them to be, but she kept living and she kept loving and she kept engaging. In the early 2000s, Carol and her husband Kenny were going back and forth to Rio Doce. They'd both retired, and they were looking at moving there. Kenny had to have a surgery, and he was recovering well. And then he experienced, out of nowhere seemingly, a fatal blood clot. So now, no cabin, no Kenny. And Carol had to once again make a decision to stay faithful, to keep living, to keep loving. When her eyesight kept getting worse and worse, she couldn't drive anymore. She had to move into Ventura Place. But Carol kept connected to her family. She kept connected to her friends. She kept connected to our church. I mean, right there, she said, right behind where y'all are sitting every Sunday. And Carol, she came to Sunday school, harmony class every Sunday. She was in the Methodist women, helping love kids and people all over the world, right? She stayed connected. Y'all, none of us here this morning likes being vulnerable, likes being weak, or likes facing hurts and struggles. But y'all, God's grace, God's promise to Paul, God's promise to Carol, God's promise to us is that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. God's grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our brokenness. I've known other folks who've let their hurtful and painful circumstances begin to not just define their past, but to control their present. This morning, where do you struggle the most to love? I mean, is it vertical? I mean, you know, some stuff has happened in your life, and you don't like the way God did it. You don't like the way stuff happened, and you're kind of having a lover's quarrel with Him, and you really are just trying to stay as far away from Him as you can. It's hard for you to love Him right now. Or maybe you're having a hard time loving other people in your life because they have let you down. They have said one thing and done another. They've not been there when you needed them the most, right? Or maybe you're having a hard time loving yourself because something stupid you did a long time ago. Or maybe you're having a hard time loving yourself because some message that you received into your mind and your heart when you were just a little kid. Wherever you need help loving this morning, remember that we love because He first loved us. So the only way I can really love Him, the only way I can really love you, the only way I can really love me is by receiving that love from Him first. Third and final important truth from the great commandment is that the great commandment Jesus is giving us is a profound affirmation and summary of the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. So if you don't remember the Ten Commandments, here's the list. You may have to squint a little bit to see. But when you look at that list, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's the first four commandments. Loving others as you love yourself, that's the last six. And I know too many folks read or hear or see these Ten Commandments and they think that God is all about prohibition, you know, all about the stuff we can't do. But I believe when we see these commandments, that what they're really about is not God's prohibition, but God's provision. A lot of folks see all the thou shalt nots and all they see is restrictions. But when I look at this list, I see relationship, loving relationship. This is the new addition to our family. His name is Chewy. And he is a beautiful little long-haired Dachshund. And he belongs to Caleb's girlfriend, Zulema. But since he's a puppy, Janie is puppy-sitting him while Zulema is at work. We often take Chewy out to play to do his business out in the front yard. And guess what Chewy wants to do? Immediately when he gets in the front yard, he heads straight to the street. But we have a rule, a commandment for Chewy. Thou shalt not play in the street, right? Well, that rule, that restriction is not about taking something away from Chewy, but rather it's about giving life to Chewy. That's what the Ten Commandments are about. That's what Jesus' great commandment is about. It's about God guiding us and leading us to experience life and life abundantly that He so longs to give us. Loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving your neighbors, you love yourself. That is the way the great designer has designed us. That's when things are really going to be going the way they're supposed to be going. When we love Him, we love others, and we love ourselves. This morning, may we truly listen to Him and obey Him. May we truly hear His voice and heed His love. We'll close this morning with a little two-minute video, and maybe you've already seen it this week, but it's a great video.
Me and my wife were looking at some old home videos recently of our youngest daughter being born. I'm going to show you the video. Not her being born, because my wife would be like, "You doing what? We got some conflict we need to talk about." So it's a video of our youngest daughter being born. I took this video. The video you're about to watch is a video I took, but I didn't understand the power of it until I watched the video. So let me set it up for you. She's like 2.5 minutes old. Our daughter's 2.5 minutes old at the time. And they got her under that little chicken warmer at the hospital, the little thing to keep the french fries warm. I don't know what kind of insurance we have, but that's what they got her under. And the nurse is about to clean her up, and she starts to cry. I want you to notice what happens when she hears my voice. Okay, for her, look, I'm right here. It's okay, it's okay. I'm right here, I'm right here. We're doing just fine. It's okay. It's okay, I'm right here. Right here, yeah. It's okay. It's okay, baby. Yo, so that was pretty powerful, right? Now it's like 7.5 minutes or so later. The nurse is done cleaning her up, and she starts to cry again. I speak up, and she stops crying again. But I want you to notice what happens when I tell her I love her.
Portland. It's okay. It's okay. It's good. It's good. It's good. I'm right here. I'm right here. I am right here. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. It's okay. It's okay.
So here's the thing. There's going to be times in life where it feels like you're going from conflict to conflict to conflict. Or maybe you're just full of fear because of all the uncertainties right now. The key thing to do in those moments is to be still and listen for the Father's voice. Be still and listen for the Father's voice, because He is talking to you. And what He wants you to know is that He's right here. He loves you. All you have to do is open your eyes.
This morning, open your eyes to Jesus. He is right here. And He is saying to you, I love you. I will never leave you or forsake you. He's saying, you belong to me and I belong to you. This morning, don't just hear about love, receive His love. We remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He gave thanks to His Father, and he broke the bread and He said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you." And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And once again, He gave thanks to His Father, and he poured the cup. He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Remember, by His wounds, we are made whole. As you come to this table, come open, come willing, come available to Him. Let Him touch you and do that heart surgery where you hurt. Let Him pour His truth into your mind. And let Him have the totality of your being. Love Him with all your souls. Lord Jesus, meet us at this altar. You know exactly what's going on inside of us, around us. And so, Lord, we come this morning. We need You to give Yourself to us. All right, I'm going to rehearse what happened earlier in the morning. So Pastor Andy was running at humongous speed and poof, poof, poof. Anyway. look, here's the deal. When you count on you, that's what you do. You fall. But when you build your life on the rock of ages, you stand. Standing not on your strength, but His. Because in your weakness, by His strength, you are made strong. Lord Jesus, send us out, not just those who've talked about love, but those who have received love, and let us go be love for this world that so desperately needs you. In your name, Jesus, amen. Thank y'all for being here this morning.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.